Hi, this is Kurtwood Smith. You remember me from such TV comedies as That 70s Show and That 90s Show on Netflix. I'll never forget the words that my grandfather said just before he kicked the bucket. He said, "Watch how far I can kick this bucket." People ask me where I get my dad jokes from. I tell them to listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast. Listen to Daily Dad Jokes every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Hey fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, the podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Like our recent episode with sisters Regina and Raina King about the why behind their production company, Royal Ties.
We have such a huge love for storytelling without walls, without barriers.
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jordan Gonsalves, and I'm a journalist. Join me on my new podcast, But We Loved, coming May 15th, where queer elders recount the amazing history they've lived through.
In the middle of Wall Street, they stopped traffic. They were doing a die-in.
And in the process, share little gems of wisdom for the next generation.
The key is to understanding yourself, learning to love and embrace yourself.
You can listen to But We Loved May 15th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, this is Allison Loudermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
And this is Robert Lamb, science writer at HowStuffWorks.com.
Today we're having a little fun with science, but before we get there, let's talk about weight.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, you're looking at me with your eyeballs.
Yes.
How much do you think an eyeball weighs?
Left or right?
Right.
Right.
Either, actually.
I don't know, 8 grams?
Yeah, ballpark.
Yeah.
For an adult eyeball. What about the weight of your skin for, I don't know, let's say it's a hypothetical man or a woman.
Like all of it, all
yeah.
the skin.
Yeah, a pile of skin on a scale. How much would you think it might weigh?
Oh, 10 pounds?
Yeah, actually it's 9 pounds. Oh. I thought that was surprisingly heavy. How much for the weight of the soul?
The weight of the soul. Well, a lot of people would say that the soul, well, either doesn't exist or is something that's so intangible.
Can't be weighed.
That it can't be weighed. But that doesn't stop people from trying.
And that's what we love about science.
Right. Taking scientific principles, taking physics, taking our understanding of electricity, etc., and trying to figure out what the soul is and where it comes from.
So that's what we're talking about today, weighing the soul. Let's talk about one of the early soul wearers, this guy by the name of Duncan McDougall.
Yes, he's really the grandfather of soul weighing. Like, this is the guy, this is where we get the whole 21 grams thing, correct?
Yes, it is, the Hollywood movie. It's Benicio del Toro, Sean Penn, and Naomi Watts.
Yeah, McDougall wrote that. No, he didn't. But he did weigh a bunch of terminally ill people.
Yeah, back around the early 1900s, he went to sort of a hospice place for people with late-stage TB. I think back then they called it consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And what he proposed doing was getting a couple of dying people, or getting one dying person at a time in their kind of last throes of death, and putting them on this scale, cot and all, so that all of their body mass and assorted medical trappings would be on the scale, and then ascertaining the time of death by placing a stethoscope and listening to the heartbeat. Like, so when the heart stopped beating, that's when the person died, according to McDougall.
Yeah, it's basically... like,
and weighing them.
Yeah, it's like the analogy we were using earlier was that it's kind of like if you set out in the morning with your wallet in your back pocket and you wait X amount. And then an hour later, if someone were to steal your wallet, you would weigh slightly less. And you'd be able to determine how much the wallet weighed based on the difference.
Sure, yeah.
So basically, that's what McDougall is trying to do. But in, you know, instead of, say, going to a place where wallets are frequently stolen, he's going to a place where he's pretty much guaranteed there are going to be some human deaths. And the consumption patients tended to not put up a struggle. They tended to be very still during the final moments, and made for particularly good test subjects.
Yeah, it's not like they were having like these crazy death spasms or anything like
right.
that. I think they were pretty much comatose near the end.
And yet, he basically only got the 21 grams from one particular patient, right? I mean, these it's not like each one just was like clockwork. Oh, 21 grams, 21 grams. No, he had one patient where he was able to determine, like, this particular weight loss. Others, he either wasn't able to nail down exactly when the patient died, or there was some sort of interference in the proceedings.
Yeah, so we're talking about... an experiment that consisted of six subjects with one result that people have picked up on. And then you have complications, like, as Robert said, like determining the time of death. And then other people were thinking that maybe it was this thing called insensible weight loss. Basically, like, you know, where the patient's, you know, sweating it out, or maybe they were losing this very minute mass through breathing or stuff like that.
Right. And these Fairbanks scales were not designed for weighing dead people at the moment of death. So there are any number of other complications that it could occur with, like how the person is positioned on the scales, is part of the cot hanging off the side, and then, you know, even like small amounts of movement on their part. There, you know, a number of factors.
I think McDougall even got this published, though, in a legitimate peer-reviewed journal.
Yeah, early 20th century, you saw a lot of paranormal research showing up in, you know, legitimate scientific publications. And the whole thing is, a lot of this is new science, you know, and people were very excited about it. So they're, you know, basically applying it to everything, you know. It's
I have to admit, I was curious about it.
Oh, it's fascinating. Yeah, fascinating stuff.
It's definitely operating on the fringe of science, if you want to call it that, but it's pretty darn interesting. So McDougall got started with humans, but then he just got that one subject, and there was all sorts of bureaucratic red tape.
But animals, a lot easier.
Yeah, dogs in particular.
Dog after dog after dog.
And he didn't find much with dogs, actually, did he?
Yes, there was no discernible weight loss, which leads to one of two possibilities. Either one, dogs have no souls, or two, it's so, you know, such a small soul that you can't even measure it. Or I guess three, all of this is kind of BS.
So then along comes, people are fascinated with this, and McDougall wasn't the only guy. So there was a high school physics teacher who took up the ball where McDougall kind of ceased to.
Yeah, a man by the name of Twining stepped in and continued this research with mice. Because even though there's some pretty small breeds of dog, it's a lot easier to, say, stuff a live mouse in a test tube and then seal it off and let it suffocate and then see if there's any change in weight.
You say that, but I can't imagine there's anything easy about that. And I'm pretty sure animal rights advocates would not be so happy with the idea of this. But this is what this guy was doing in his spare time. He was trying to figure out what the weight of a mouse's soul was. You got to respect him for trying. I mean, it's not the easiest question to answer.
Yeah, it is. But like we were talking about this earlier, it's not. I mean, it's very hard to argue that this is important research. You know, it doesn't have a lot of applications in
right, because what are you going to do with the weight of your soul?
You can't save a life with it. You know, are you going to, you know, what, have like a minimum soul requirement for the local country club? I mean, it's kind of pointless.
Then along comes this guy named Donald Carpenter. So he's a self-published author and expert in all sorts of fields, none of which I think are officially recognized by degrees.
Yes,
But Carpenter had a really neat spin on it. So instead of weighing when the soul leaves the body, he wanted to measure when the soul enters the body and what would be good candidates for such an experiment. Pregnant ladies,
yes. Or technically like spirit mediums, but that's a whole nother... That's a whole other area of paranormal research.
So Carpenter thought, well, you know, I'll get a bunch of newly pregnant ladies and I'll wait for a couple days. I think it's like 43 days when mm-hmm. when you can first detect brainwaves in the fetus. Mm-hmm. And he thought, you know, on that day, that's when, you know, the soul will gain weight. These pregnant ladies will show this new soul weight, if you will.
He also... decided to get into the whole dog soul business by predicting that a dog soul weighs less than 1.8 grams, meaning that it's just too light for measurement.
He said all of you guys who've gone about, you know, weighing animal souls have gone about it wrong, and here's what, you know, you just weren't using the right scales.
Right, and but then he even goes so far as to say Jesus' soul would weigh 364 grams. He starts talking about leprechauns. The author Mary Roach goes into this in her book Spook in more fantastic and hilarious detail. But Carpenter was kind of a nut.
Kind of a nutter.
Yeah. His book is still available, 1998, Physically Weighing the Soul.
I would like to read it, I have to confess.
Yeah, I might have to check it out.
And then along outside of the realm of nutters comes this guy from Duke University, a guy by the name of Gerald Nahum.
Yeah, or... Jerry Nahum. This is a man with an MD from Stanford. Undergraduate came from Yale. He was with Duke University, and now he's with the FDA. And this guy took like a very high tech approach to the whole situation.
Right. He wasn't just looking at it and saying, "Well, I'll put you on a scale and see what the weight loss or weight
right.
difference is."
Well, I mean, he's still talking about putting people on a scale,
right.
But
so
he's talking about like an ultra sensitive scale, and one that's, you know, completely sealed off and then surrounded by basically every kind of sensor you could imagine, especially electromagnetic energy detectors to gauge radiant energy. So we're talking about, like, you know, if the soul were, you know, were to leave the, you know, body in waves, etc., he could somehow possibly
detect energy.
And if he was able to detect something leaving the box or emanating from it, then there'd be a change in weight.
Right.
And, I mean, energy, this would be due to energy loss on a very minute scale. All right. This all basically breaks down to the idea that the soul, you know, Nahum doesn't even talk in terms of the soul, really. Basically, he's talking about consciousness and then consciousness as information. All right. And at least quantumly, information has a slight weight. It's energy.
Right, so like a thought you're having has energy, and
right.
thus the soul has energy. But how exactly we quantify that is...
Well, it's also going with the idea that energy can neither be created nor destroyed.
Right,
so
thermodynamics.
Yeah, it's got to go somewhere, you know? If the cat's not in the house, he must have gone outside. He must be in the yard. It's that kind of thing, you know? So for Nahum, it seemed... pretty obvious. The soul, consciousness, whatever, this energy is going somewhere. And he proposed an idea on how to observe it and see what it is. Of course, he didn't exactly get funding for it because I believe the cost was like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, plus the fact that I think not too many people were well-versed in stuff like, you know, souls or quantum physics or biology.
Yeah, it's pretty complicated stuff. He tried to get some funding behind it. In fact, he went to the Vatican.
Oh, right.
Yes, and this is also told in Mary Roach's Spook. An excellent story from her interview with Nahum. He went to the Vatican, to see if they were interested in this kind of thing. Vatican, you know, they were just like, and they passed on it because basically there's no percentage in it for the church. You know, it's like either you back up something that is an article of faith with everybody that everyone just believes in,
right.
Or you like disprove it with science. So there's no positive spin on it for him. So he goes home. You know,
they sent him packing.
Yeah, sent him packing. But then they end up calling him back for a second interview. And this time he goes in and they have Vatican scientists there. They have, we're talking guys with backgrounds in astrophysics and you know, in quantum mechanics and all this and this time, they're not just saying they're not interested. They're pleading with him not to conduct any of this research.
Right. They figured he'd open this window into the world. Although, I mean, if these souls are departing, presumably there is a window that's opening all the time when people are dying.
Yeah. So they're like the basic idea. I think the exact quote was open a window that might not be closed after opening, which you could sort of take to being like, you know, the idea of like a notion being introduced that can't be completely dispelled. But Roach really stresses the idea that it might be more than that, this idea that it would be like a, you know, in a very science fiction-y or horror terms, like a portal into another world, another, you know, Gozer and all that, you know, just crazy monster gods, window into hell, all sorts of stuff like that. You know, the imagination just runs wild. And so the Vatican was a little, maybe you shouldn't do this. And then they also tried to get him to convert to Catholicism.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
So he went home and got a job with the FDA.
So that was kind of those are the modern day folks who've been interested in soul weighing, but also the ancient Egyptians. I mean, this has been a question that's been eating at us for centuries.
Yeah, thousands of years. You've been to the museums, you've seen hieroglyphics, right?
I have.
Well, there's one portion in the Egyptian Book of the Dead that shows the ibis-headed Thoth, and he's weighing like the human heart, the human soul. You know, everything that we are against a feather. And that's how he judges whether one is fit to enter the afterlife.
So, if you want to know more about anything from ghosts to quantum suicide to reincarnation, skip on over to howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Hi, this is Kurtwood Smith. You remember me from such TV comedies as That 70s Show and That 90s Show on Netflix. I'll never forget the words that my grandfather said just before he kicked the bucket. He said, "Watch how far I can kick this bucket." People ask me where I get my dad jokes from. I tell them to listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast. Listen to Daily Dad Jokes every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, the podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Like our recent episode with sisters Regina and Raina King about the why behind their production company, Royal Ties.
We have such a huge love for storytelling without walls, without barriers.
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
I'm Jordan Gonsalves, and I'm a journalist. Join me on my new podcast, But We Loved, coming May 15th, where queer elders recount the amazing history they've lived through.
In the middle of Wall Street, they stopped traffic. They were doing a die-in.
There is a right! Help, there
and
is
in the
right.
process, share little gems of wisdom for the next generation.
The key is to understanding yourself, learning to love and embrace yourself.
You can listen to But We Loved May 15th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.